Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. It is the third and final hour of Monday morning here on the program. And normally at this time, we turn on the light with Jack Splane of New Bedford Light. I thought we weren't going to be because I thought he was going to be on vacation, but he's here. And so you're here with us this week, Jack, but you won't be here the next two weeks.
Going south next week and for 8 days. So I'll be gone the next 2 Mondays.
We'll try not to have any major news happen while you're gone.
I know. I hate that. It always happens when I go on vacation. And that's when I know I'm really a news junkie because I get all upset because I can't be part of some big thing that broke.
Well, I mean, you know, you can always call into us if the need arises to need to, you know, to chime in on any of it.
If you're that unable to enjoy a vacation.
Right. That's the thing. My last vacation that I went on, I brought my computer and I had to work every day. So it didn't really feel like a vacation. Like I was still way too tied into everything that was going on.
Yeah, I make an affirmative effort not to do that. But I have to admit, sometimes when a big event happens, like I just think, all right, I got to find out what's going on.
Well, it's good that you're still here this week because there's a lot of things that we can talk about. So let's get into it.
Could I think, get high on you?
And we are going to talk about your column at newbedfordlight.org, which is about letting women into the feast. But before we get into that, I want to get your perspective on some of the election issues that happened last week, because there was a criticism of somebody that called in. I think it was Barry's show. Yeah, Barry. I would think it was Catherine called into Barry's show. And there was a point brought up that they didn't think that the local media outside of WBSM had really focused enough on this issue, this election issue. And I went back and read some of the coverage, and it seemed like a lot of the reporting on it outside of us was looking at this as, you know, and there were some issues with ballots, but it wasn't a big deal. And that seemed to be the way that it was characterized in other media, not just the Light, but in the Standard Times and elsewhere. My question is, how big of a deal do you, Jack Splane, think it is?
Well, I've actually been working on a possible column on this. I haven't quite decided whether I'm going to do it or not. I know that Arthur Hirsch, in his news story for the Light, described it as a minor thing. And I think if that was the only thing that has ever happened at the New Bedford election office, it would be a minor thing. That it is possible to not pack enough ballots. But it just seems like over and over again, things are happening. I'm looking into a few things. There was some misinformation in Catherine's call. I don't think it was her point. I called the city, and what the city told me was not the election office. I called the mayor's office. And what they told me is that the section of the law she read that, I forget exactly what it said, that you... What did it say? It said...
Are you referring to the election commissioners and being active in their terms?
Yes. So because I did look up, and Catherine was right, that three of them are over their terms. But there's another section of that law that the city read to me, which says that except if it is a commission or committee that the state has mandated that the... city or town have, and the election commission is one of those things, and so they are allowed to keep them vacant if it's a state mandated board. They actually have a question to the city, well, how many other state mandated boards are, because not just mayors, but presidents and governors have been known to keep a position vacant. You know, it gives them leverage over the positions. I think that this is a bad situation to have 3 out of 4 election commissioners vacant. And Commissioner DiBritto, who receives a full-time salary from the city because he's the chair and runs the office, his position has been vacant for the longest, since 2022. But the mayor is allowed to do that. So he is within the law. The council can't do anything about that. I would say to the mayor, you know, if he would talk to me, and maybe he does, sometimes he returns my call, sometimes he doesn't, that why are you leaving 3 out of 4 positions vacant? I can see it is increasingly harder to get people to volunteer for city boards. And I think that the if they are qualified, regardless of their philosophy, the city council should keep that in mind, that they might want to honor the mayor's appointments rather than give him a hard time on it. I mean, if they're not qualified, that's one thing. But to push back when you have a hard time getting people in this day and age to volunteer, I think is misguided, in my opinion.
Well, some of the information I received was that the Massachusetts state law, the general law, of course, supersedes any city ordinance or city charter rule. And this was that if the positions were vacant, the people could remain in them until a suitable replacement is found.
Right.
So, and obviously the mayor is not interested in replacing anybody, at least as of this moment.
So one of them has been vacant for 3 years, 1 2 years, and one year. So he's just not filling them. Now you could almost argue, okay, he's having a hard time finding people, but that might account for one, maybe at the most two, but it's really hard to swallow that he can't find 3 people. Now two of them have to be Democrats and 2 of them have to be Republicans. So I don't know what's going on over there. The mayor has said that even before this latest incident, that the city solicitor's office has begun, he didn't quite call it an investigation, but a review of the elections office. Here's my take for now, and I haven't gotten to the bottom of it yet, is that I think there have been some problems. I think that the problem here was twofold. The ballots that were packed for that election, one person was packing them. And quality control-wise, you need to have that needs to be one person packing, another person monitoring. So you have a two-person job, and they have it as a one-person job. Now, that election office, we have increased responsibilities in that office because of early voting and the scrutiny that is on elections nowadays anyway. And they only have 2 full-time people, both of whom are on the verge of retirement, by the way. And I think that's not good. Now, I have asked the mayor's office about this in the past, and he has said that, well, we can supply them with an additional person. And there's an additional person that has been brought in to help. Whether that person is full-time or not, I don't know. But I still think that you need to have 2 people doing that job. So they didn't pack the ballots. And then the wardens, they're increasingly having a difficult time getting good wardens. And I am sympathetic on this because the little old ladies that used to run the elections office, they're just not volunteering anymore. Part of it is because people don't want the criticism that they get with everybody thinking that every election is stolen or something has gone wrong. I do think that some of the callers to the station, and I listened, are over the top. I mean, so in one precinct, there were 9 people that didn't get ballots. 8 of them came back. You know, now they shouldn't have been inconvenienced, but it was not any sort of big, you can't trust this election or anything like that.
I tried to make the point that it wasn't a conspiracy. It was just
incompetence.
Dumb mistakes.
Yeah. And so I do think he is having a hard time getting competent people because the instructions are that they're supposed to open the box ahead of time and see that everything's there. Clearly, these wardens didn't do that. And clearly, they didn't even know that in a primary, you have both Republican and Democratic ballots, whereas in a final election, you only have 1 ballot. So I do think that he has training. You know, I've seen enough of that office that he has training. Whether the people are paying attention and getting the training, you know, it's hard to get good help, as they say. The buck still stops with the chairman of the election commission. But I can see how some of these things happen. I do think that he's very defensive. And, you know, he talks to me. He doesn't talk to other people who he views as against him. I think You need to talk to the people who you view against you, and you need to talk to the people who you think are supportive and the people who are neutral. And I think that, you know, it doesn't help you when something happens. We all make mistakes. You just need to admit that you have to make mistakes. In his defense, I think that the way that has been described by some people as, oh my God, this office is so incompetent, they're just so terrible, everything needs to be changed. Maybe it is, but I think he does have some challenges. I'm not sure that I thought Maria Tomasia had some challenges too. I think we've seen challenges in other South Coast offices from time to time. I think that they could be worked on, but I'm not convinced that the mayor's office is engaged with whatever problems he has. And I think he's defensive. And I think some people are on his case. So I think a lot of things are going on here.
But remember, in the absence of explanation is speculation. So because you don't want to come on the radio and explain exactly what the process is and answer those questions or respond to the questions that I send that information.
He needs, in my opinion, he needs to come on the radio. You know, he's a public official. He should be accountable to those who are questioning them, even if he thinks the questions are unfair. That's part of the game. Those of us who are public figures get criticized, and all of us. I get criticized. You get criticized. A lot of the times we don't think the criticism is fair, but you have to, I find that you have to be upfront about it and address it.
Well, and again, it would be one thing if it was just that one instance of, you know, not opening the day with Republican ballots in 1D, you know, that's one thing, but then to have 1F run out of Republican ballots at lunchtime and it take 45 minutes to an hour to get more ballots over there.
Yeah, so Republican ballots in Massachusetts have historically been a difficult thing to predict because most races nobody votes and you have to order far fewer of them because there is a cost to ordering ballots. So getting it right is a little more difficult than Democratic ballots. I still think that it's better, you know, on the side of caution, and it's better just to spend the money, you know. But all these things I don't think are the end of the world if there was, you know, I think the other commissioners maybe could help him or whatever. I'm on the side of helping people before I just want to, you know, get rid of them right away. But I think it's hard because he is very defensive. In my experience, I like Manny. I think he's a good guy. I think he works hard. I think he's done some innovative programs, training programs over there to try to bring in young people because to work the polls, because it is increasingly difficult to get the older people to do it. So, you know, I think that there I think there's criticisms to be given all around. That's my take, you know.
Let's take a call here, 508-996-0500. You are on with Jack Spillane.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Gilly.
Hi, Gilly.
Hello, Jack. How you doing?
Great.
Well, let me bring something up here now. You're talking about honest mistakes and everything, but this has been going on for over a year and a half, if not more. Okay, by two of your hosts on that program. Okay, Chris McCarthy is attacking Manny Brito for over a year and a half. He's the one that's causing all the commotion on the radio.
All right, we're not doing this, Gilly. No. Don't tell me, wait a minute. I run the show. You want to run the show? Apply for a job. We already went over this. You're not taking your personal problems with the way the hosts present their opinions and bringing it to my show to try to drag them when they're not here. They're entitled to their own opinions. We are paid talk show hosts that are paid to give our opinions, the same way Jack is here giving his opinion. You don't like the opinion, don't listen to the show. But don't call up everybody else's show to try to drag them. Has Chris been critical of Manny? Yeah. Do you know why he's been critical of Manny? Because he feels like the guy can't do the job competently. And he's entitled to that opinion. And if Barry feels the same way, he can say the same thing too. Enough already. Jeez.
You know, I think...
Lose our number.
I think all of us would do better not to personalize issues, both locally, statewide, and in the country as a whole. I think that the personalization of this person said this and this person said that, it really is not helping us. And, I've been guilty of that myself on occasion, but I think that it's better to try to make our cases you know, without personalizing it. You know, sometimes there's no avoiding it, but I think that, you know, I mean, I like Gilly. I think he serves an important role in the city, but I think Gilly, that you're personalizing this too much.
Right. If you want to call back and discuss things in a non-personalized way, we can do that.
Yeah.
But this is about, you don't like what Chris said, and it's got nothing to do with what Chris said about Manny. He's mad about something that Chris said about him, and he's using this as a way to try to get back at him. And you know what? Enough. Enough with the dumb vendetta garbage. Like, stop making, it's not the Gilly Safiola show here. Stop making it about you. You got cognizant points to make about what we're talking about, you can call in and discuss it. You want to call in about you and the way that you've been slighted, I'm not interested in hearing it. Anyway, anybody else? 508-996-0500. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. We are turning on the light with Jack Spillane of New Bedford Light. We are going to get into Jack's column at newbedfordlight.org about Let It Be Feast Time for Women. But just to wrap up the election question, so the mayor did say that there will be a report that will be put out by the city solicitor's office, but he did warn us that the city solicitor's office is understaffed and swamped with work, so it may take a little while. How long do you think you can really wait for to find out the answers to these questions?
No, that solicitor's office is pretty slow over in New Bedford. That review, I think, goes back to the complaints that Catherine Adamowicz had about Manny misleading her. Again, I'm not convinced it was misleading so much as a failure to communicate on both sides, but that concerns that the mayor had after that incident. So I think it goes back before the review started, before then.
Well, maybe, but I know for a fact that the Secretary of State's office has asked for a report about what happened. So, because when I reached out to them, when Joanne Hodgson called in, she said that the Mass GOP had filed a complaint, and she had a response that the Secretary of State's office had provided to the Mass GOP that came from the New Bedford Election Commission, and she read that on the air. But I wanted to just, you know, reach out to get the actual.
I do think you have to be careful, because the Republican Party is engaged in voter suppression efforts across the country, and they almost always take place in cities, not in suburbs or rural areas, and they almost always take place in minority communities. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's going on here, but you have to be careful, because there is this aggressive scrutiny of every mistake that goes on in urban communities that you're not seeing in suburban communities and other places where Republicans are stronger. And so I think, you know, if you can throw up enough smoke, you can say what Trump says. You can't trust elections. Elections are all rigged. The Democrats are always, you know, being funny. You remember the charge that Rudy Giuliani had, that these two black ballot counters in Atlanta had a secret box of extra ballots under the table, and they had brought them up to increase Biden's votes. So I'm very suspicious, you know, because they all seem to be coming from the Republican Party, these complaints. And it is just astonishing that they're not being careful enough to be extra careful with these Republican ballots, because you know that they're looking for everything they can get.
Right. Why would you give them any fuel? And as I pointed out, you know, Manny DiBritto was the guy who was saying, all these callers in the radio station calling from their mother's basements and, you know, have these conspiracy theories about elections that aren't true. And here you are giving them fuel for that fire. But, you know, my point was, it doesn't matter who made the complaint to the Secretary of State's office. The Secretary of State's office is taking it seriously enough that they want the city to give them an answer to some of these questions.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. I mean, this is the same Bill Galvin that didn't do anything when Mayor Mitchell allowed Bill Clinton to be a few feet from the polls in clear violation of the election law in the primary of Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders. You know, maybe the Secretary of State has to be brought in because the mayor has decided there really is a problem there and he needs to move, and that's going to have to be a concerted effort. But I'd like to know why the mayor is keeping these election commission seats vacant. You know, I think there's a lot going on here. I'm not convinced it is the way it's been framed. And so that's my take.
Well, we'll talk some more coming up after the news. We'll take your calls, 508-996-0500. And right now, though, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the headlines of the day from Ariel. And when we come back, we'll talk about Jack's column. We'll talk about whether or not the Feast Committee should have women serving. And, of course, we can talk about some other issues going on in the city as well. But right now, let's go into the newsroom with Ariel Dorsey.
A warning against national security risks, UFO sightings possibly covered up, and a Texas theft ring stealing this item.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Top lawmakers on the Senate Intelligence Committee are warning about the greatest U.S. national security risk. During an interview on CBS News' Face the Nation, Virginia Democrat Mark Warner says the U.S. must push back against Russia and Ukraine, resolve the war in Gaza, but China remains the biggest challenge. He said China is aiming to control the tech domain and is actively stealing American intellectual property. Actor Cillian Murphy has secured his first ever Oscar award. The Irish actor nabbed Best Actor for his title role in Oppenheimer. He faced off against Bradley Cooper, Colman Domingo, Paul Giamatti, and Jeffrey Wright. The trial date for two people accused of planning to attack Baltimore's power grid is set. The Maryland woman and Florida man are set to appear in federal court on July 8th for a conspiracy to attack a Baltimore power grid. The couple is said to have neo-Nazi ties. The Pentagon says there's evidence the U.S. covered up the existence of UFOs. The Department of Defense released a 63-page report on unidentified anomalous phenomenon on Friday. It said investigative efforts determined that most sightings were the result of misidentification of ordinary objects and phenomenon. The report also said there is no empirical evidence for claims that the government and private companies are reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology. Two Texas men are facing charges after allegedly stealing a whole lot of calculators from several stores in Minnesota. The value of the stolen calculators was around $20,000. Investigators believe the men are part of a larger theft ring in Texas that may have stolen $25 million in calculators around the U.S. And Tuesday marks Equal Pay Day. It's the date that symbolizes how far into the year that women have to work to earn what men earned in the previous year. The Labor Department says women in the U.S. earned about 20% less than men on the average last year.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
Tonight, the Boston Bruins are looking for another win when they host the St. Louis Blues at TD Garden. The Celtics are on the road when they visit Portland Trail Blazers tonight at 10:30. And the Red Sox next spring training game is today at 1 with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Monday morning, everybody. Mid-30s this morning. Westerly wind up to 25 miles per hour, gusting up to 35. Some flurries overhead. Clouds will lead to some sunshine by this afternoon, mid-40s. It'll remain windy for this afternoon, overnight, and even into tomorrow. The winds will be subsiding a little bit. Sunny skies through Thursday. Chance for rain Friday into the weekend. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on the New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
And I'm Ariel Dorsey with WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Hit the wrong button there, but that's all right. And maybe I just need a little bourbon, right? A little bourbon in the morning? No, it's probably too early for that, but that's okay because Bourbon Therapy is coming to Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. So now through March 30th, if you purchase a raffle ticket, you get a chance to purchase one of four special reserve bottles. We're talking about some of the hardest to get bourbons around. They're going to have those for you to be able to try to win a chance to buy. And tickets are $20 and all proceeds will benefit the Fairhaven Animal Shelter. Four winners will be drawn during the Bourbon Therapy event on Saturday. Saturday, March 30th. You can join the crew from Keeping It Neat at this special in-house tasting with various vendors and purchase a bottle of Wheatley vodka, and you'll automatically get a raffle ticket. So if you want to find out more about this, then you can go to Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven for the details. But again, Bourbon Therapy is coming to Stevie's Wine and Spirits on March 30th, and you can get your raffle ticket to be able to buy one of those special bottles coming up. Are you a bourbon drinker at all, Jack? Do you like bourbon?
My bourbon drinking days are over, but I did like it when I was drinking that kind of stuff.
But so you're probably familiar with some of the more fancier, harder to get ones, you know, the Pappies and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, no, I was never that big a bourbon drinker.
Well, but this is your chance to try to get a chance to get one of those bottles. So speaking of drinking, one of the big signature events of the city every year, and I say that because, you know, the Madeira and wine is a big part of it, but that is the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. And there is a story going on right now that, and as you mentioned, the meeting is coming up this week where the feast committee has to look at the possibility of having women serve on that committee. And kind of talk us through this, because you did a really good job in your column at newbedfordlight.org of giving us exactly the rundown of what women are doing and what they've been allowed to do as part of the feast.
Okay, so this story was broken by our reporter Anastasia Lennon a few weeks ago, and then I wrote a column last week basically saying that time has come that they should admit these women. I had a long talk with Tara George, one of the potential litigants, and she talked about how she has worked the feast since 1999, and she just has done everything. She started making food, and then she went to pouring soda, and then different things, and eventually now she's pouring Madeira and wine. She goes every year, and she's a person of accomplishment. She's an attorney, well-known family, and she's would like to be a member of the feast, and she can't simply because of her gender. And the answer that they always get back is that it's the tradition. It's not the tradition evidently in Madeira, but it is in the United States. So I get it. It was one time the way things were done, but we're in 2024. And I think that women, you know, there are seven women, I guess, in total, including former city councilor Jane Gonsalves, who would like to be members of the feast committee. So in order to be a member, you have to work as a festiera or a festiero the previous year. The women are working, they just can't be called festieros and festieras rather. And then after you work at the feast as a festiera, you get to become a member of, if you're sponsored, of the Club Madeirans SS Sacramento. I'm sure I'm murdering the pronunciation of that. But they haven't let them. I did get some criticism for that column because I'm an Irish American, and the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick have not admitted women. The word "sons" is in their name. I think they should admit women. I'm not a member. I don't know whether there's any big effort. The reason I'm writing about this is because there's a big public effort and a threat of a lawsuit. That's why I'm writing about it. But if the I heard that there was an effort a few years ago of women to and join the Friendly Sons, but the Friendly Sons, I believe, is a national group, although the Lakeville Eagles was a national group too, and they successfully sued them to admit women because they were running various tournaments and things. The Friendly Sons runs the upcoming half marathon, so I think they all should admit women. I think, you know, women have so much to offer. They're professional people of all sorts. They've done the work. You know, come on, well, you know, guys, like I know guys like to do things with guys sometimes, but this is not the thing. It's too big an event.
Well, and that's the thing, is one of the I'm trying to say smoke screen. Well, one of the things that they're putting up there to say as to why they can keep it this way is that it is a private club. But is that going to that's not going to hold up in court when this is the biggest event in the city every year? This is not just a feast committee event. This is a New Bedford event. This is, even though the city doesn't put it on, it is such a signature event for the city that I think a judge is going to look at that and say, how can you exclude women from the most important part of the cultural identity of your city?
Yeah, so I'm not a lawyer, but there are legal issues. Some private groups, the way that they're organized, they're allowed to make whatever rules they want. But my understanding, and again, I'm not a lawyer, is that if you are running a big event that is open to the public, then you have to allow anybody to be part of it. And that's what caught up the Eagles. I think they were running, I forget whether it was a motorcycle or a dart tournament, some sort of tournament that they were running, and, you know, women couldn't enter. And so women can enter the feast, obviously, but it's because of the activities that they're engaged in that they can't discriminate.
So you're not a lawyer, but you know who is a lawyer is some of the women involved in this discussion. So if this meeting doesn't go their way, and if the feast committee doesn't decide on their own to allow women to serve, they're going to take this to the next step.
That's what they've said. And, you know, they seem serious. They've got Adrienne Beauregard-Ream, I think is her name. And she's Phil Beauregard's daughter, prestigious local law firm. They say that they're going to go forward with a suit. My understanding is that the feast has consulted lawyers of their own. It will be interesting to see what happens this Friday.
So, and again, this is something, as we were talking before, they've been serving. They've served on some of the committees. They've served on some of the, you know, the different things that they give money to, scholarships and such. They are certainly there as part of the feast every year working. They've done everything that's required. And that's why they just want a fair seat at the table. And it's not like changes haven't been made. They made a change in, what, 1999 to the way that they let people serve.
So it used to be only the sons of Madeiran men could be members, and then they changed it to say that the sons of Madeiran women could now be members. I mean, the distinction is lost on me. I don't know what you know, it's patriarchal, I guess, is what you would call it. I don't get it. I think that, you know, the time has come to do this. There's lots of guys who are members of the feast that want to allow the women in. The vote was actually 50-50. The problem is that the club's bylaws say that it has to be a 75% rule, and anybody who's ever tried to get a 75% vote out of any group, it's hard.
Well, and also, I made this point this morning. I don't know everybody involved with the feast, but I know some of the people that are involved with the feast, and I wouldn't characterize these people as chauvinistic in any way, that I think they are just hanging on to that tradition thing more than they are about not thinking, you know, women should be equals. So I think that they kind of fundamentally feel like, hey, they're on par with us. It's just, this is the way that we've always done it, so we're going to do with it. It is something that's so steeped in tradition. I understand why they don't want to change that, but I don't think this is coming from a place of them thinking women are inferior.
I can't second guess where it's coming from. I think it's a lame argument myself. Like, you know, I just think, you know, the way we've always done it. Well, I mean, we all drove horse and buggies for mm-hmm. a long time. Like, you know, we women were not allowed to vote for a long time. You know, you could just say, well, that's the way we've always done it. It's not that we don't think, I mean, there's all kinds of organizations that have rules that are based on that's the way we've always done it. You know, I mean, you could get into women priests, all kinds of things where women have been excluded. And before, and in some cases, people were excluded based on their race or ethnic group. I just think that it's an outdated practice. And I do think that it's divisive, I guess, is what I would call it. Because, you know, that there are a significant group of Madeiran women that want to be in, and a significant number of club members that want them in. It just seems intransigent to fight so hard against it.
And if there is the chance that you could lose in court, it's probably a better look to make that decision on your own than to have the judge make it for you.
Well, I think a lot of people will not want them to spend the money on what might well be a losing case. And the other thing is that they have accepted, and I don't know what the exact number is, but I think it's several $100,000 in ARPA money, federal government pandemic relief money, because of the effects that it had in the feast. Once you accept federal money, that and I don't know whether they spent it yet or not, but you know, if they lose, I mean, if they may have to give that money back if they you know.
If it doesn't go their way. Yeah. Well, why don't we take a break here? 508-996-0500. Lamone, I know you've been on hold for a long time, but you had your one call already today. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Hey, welcome back in. We are turning on the light with Jack Spillane of New Bedford Light, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on with Jack Spillane.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Okay. I was just, I'm very surprised that in 2024, we are having this conversation. I have family members who are the fathers from Madera. The father has passed away, and there are three girls, three daughters, and they've always helped with the feast. And since they were little, they always wanted to be part of the committee. Now, these are grown women in their 40s, and they're still wanting to be and carry on the father's tradition, who has passed away. By virtue that he didn't have any sons, his era ends with a Madera feast. Something, and he was born and raised in Madera, something that he's always carried on. So in 2024, we're having this conversation. To me, it's way, way overdue. And that's just my...
I agree with you, ma'am. I think you're very well spoken, and it's a great example of how these women have worked all their lives, and they're told they can't be members. Here's one theory I have sometimes, is that women are so good at everything, is that once you allow them to be part of things, they're going to be so good that the men won't join because...
You know, I always said that women are doers. Men think before they do anything. And if it weren't for the women, I mean, the women worked so hard at that feast. I used to see them. They're the ones sweeping. They're the ones doing all kinds of things. And to deny them this right, I just find appalling.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah. I think, you know, when the Catholic Church, and I think different churches do it differently, but they allowed altar girls to come in. Now you never see an altar boys because the boys think it's feminine to be an altar server because the altar girls came in. Women are good at stuff. Like, you know, they can jock simple, like, you know, keep them out of the marathon because they can't possibly do it. And then they prove that they can do it. Not only do it well. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it's about, but it's about something.
Let's take another call here before we get to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM with Jack Spillane.
On a Saturday show, Paul had a guest called in who was a lawyer, and he talked about Mass General Law, about the difference between a private-type club and a private nonprofit. I believe the feast is a nonprofit. So there you're following different kind of federal guidelines, but also you've got to stay away from discrimination now, which Jack had mentioned earlier about some federal money, too. If there's a form of discrimination, they would probably have to pay that back. So I just think it's time, but the key there is going to be by their bylaws to get that full 75% or more. It should work out. Hopefully it works out for the best, and it's creating a big division within the Portuguese community, so hopefully it all works out. And one thing real quick, since last Monday, I've been to Wamaze, I've done the Sparks Auto, and last night I was at the Gas Express and I got the chicken on my way home.
What'd you think of the chicken?
Shout out to all those businesses.
What'd you think of the chicken? I think he probably enjoyed it better than I think. I don't think you might have to hang up there. Anyway, I'm going to take a break. Caller, hang on. We'll get to you when we come back. I just want to make sure I get this last one in. We'll be back in just a few moments. And let's go right back to the phones. Good morning. You're next with Jack Spillane.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, I'm against the whole allowing women into the feast, and here's why. It opens up the door for the stupidity of today's world. Let me give you an example. I'm from the mainland, Portugal, but my entire life I've grown up with individuals who are from St. Michael. My whole group participated in all their cultural events, all of that. I identify as someone from St. Michael. Can I now join the group?
Well, I think, but part of it is, you know, you can't have those restrictions in your bylaws because it's an organization that's made for those particular folks. You know, the same way, you know, the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick can say you got to be Irish to be part of that if they want to, you know, have that restriction.
I mean, this caller seems like he's playing on the thing about transgender with men who identify as women and women who identify as men, but there's none of that going on here. These are women. Like, you know, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful.
If it's a heritage group, they still have the heritage.
And I'm not,
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful anyway, but again, we're getting into those fine lines of what is what. Now, if I identify as someone who's saying, like, or say one of these females, like, let's change it up. One of these females who are legit from St. Michael and all that. What if they now identify as males? Does that, like, what I'm saying is, when you have traditions and cultures and so on and so forth, there's reasons behind it, right? Start changing the rules and all that. Yes, I understand. I have a daughter myself. And would I love, you know, my daughter to carry on those traditions? 100%. However, those rules, those traditions were put into place for a reason. And when we start watering
Hold on. But what's the reason?
Well, the tradition was also that women could not vote. The tradition was that they should stay in the home. The tradition was that they should wear dresses down to the floor. I mean,
if you have a valid reason of why they were excluded in the first place, then we can have that conversation. But there is no valid reason, so therefore it's not valid to keep them out.
I could give you a reason. What if the tradition is because women tend not to make the same decisions that men do? So that's your so let me.
Then that's an outright discrimination because that's not true.
Maybe the club would be better.
I'm out of time. I hate to hold you there. I just don't want to have to cut you off with the music.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good
thank
day.
You. That's totally based on the clock and not based on, you know, the fact that we were getting into it. But we can certainly pick that conversation up again tomorrow. Jack, I know you're going to be away on vacation, but do we have, you said you might have some things that are in the works?
Yeah. I.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.